It's Friday, August 3rd, and I'm still robo tripping from my cold.
It's a whole other week, tripping all week long.
It's not, you know, it's not really. I mean, I don't know. I keep giving it away. It's like we're something, the fourth wall. I don't know. More like the fourth estate on this channel, am I right?
This room does have four walls, though.
Is there a room that doesn't have four walls?
Yeah, the ones that they film sitcoms in.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's where that comes from. So this today will be security, and boy, is there a lot of bad news in the security world today.
I was pretty sure that this first story was nonsense because it's got to be.
It's real. So we've talked about before that when you upload your genetic profile, the cops can look at it. Well, it's not just the cops. Now the drug companies are getting in on it.
23andMe, which is a company that tells you about your genetic heritage, is sharing its 5 million clients' genetic data with drug giant GlaxoSmithKline. They're the people that make medications and have earned public ire for raising what they charge for medications because they can. Because turns out if you're dying from something, you're going to pay whatever it is, no matter how much it costs.
And it's difficult for them to get people to volunteer their genetic data because that's a pretty personal thing. But it turns out with 23andMe, when you signed up, you know those terms and conditions you didn't read? Well, you agreed that they could resell your genetic data. I think it's anonymized, but by the very nature of genetic data, there is no anonymity. Like that DNA is the final word in identifying people in court and stuff like that. So
I feel like only the European Union is up to step up and regulate this shenanigans.
Well, that won't stop them here. So
no, because you know, U.S. company or whatever.
Now, you can opt out. And if you go right now and delete your profile, they claim they will completely purge you from the system. They won't keep your stuff. Well, that's what they claim.
Here's a prediction from the 2021 Level 1 News, which is, oops, it was a technical oversight. We didn't delete that stuff. Sorry, that was our bad. We didn't mean to do that.
Yeah.
So
bad news.
The other thing that I like about this story is that it's probably going to be the plot of some sort of future dystopian, like, you know, I don't know, somebody wake up Neil Gaiman or something, because I've got the plot for his next novel, and it is, you know, somebody's genetic code has the solution for cancer in it, but they're dying of cancer themselves and can't afford the drug medication based on their own DNA.
Well, I think a better way to go with that is the GlaxoSmithKline, or the, you know, the fictionalized version of them, they discover that and send a team of assassins. Because, you know, the possible cure for cancer must be destroyed, or otherwise it's going to destroy their business model.
Yeah.
And there's one plucky, you know, like detective who finds it, like Keanu Reeves, who finds all this out. And he's got to keep that guy alive in the face of, you know, the entire medical industry and the security complex.
Keanu thinks that the medical industry is after him, but imagine his surprise when government agents are after him as well. And it's like, how deep does this deep state go?
Yeah. That could be a series of movies.
It's like the Bourne Identity, but even darker.
Well, beginning the long string of exploits and leaks, we start with new variants of Spectre. We've had a new variant of Spectre every week for a very long time. Yeah. We got a couple this week. And this one is, it seems scarier than it is.
Spectre is a part of a class of attacks that are around speculative execution that are in modern CPUs. And by exploiting the machinery of the CPU for how the CPU deals with speculative execution, you can read parts of memory that you're not supposed to be able to read and otherwise do stuff to the system that you're not supposed to be able to do. Well, NetSpectre, this new variant, is able to exfiltrate data over the network at a rate of tens of bits per hour.
Yeah. That's why it's not so scary. It's really not, I mean, it's effective, but what are you going to do with it? What could you get 10 bits an hour of that's ever going to mean anything to you?
This type of vulnerability is starting to make me think that this has been sponsored by like nation states. Like this whole thing, like this whole chain of vulnerabilities makes me think that this was deliberately done by some three-letter agency or collusion of three-letter agencies in the developed world, because how is this not caught before now? This is insane.
So this one doesn't need, your machine doesn't have to be infected. Like all the other Spectre attacks, you had to be compromised some other way. This one is not that case. They can actually do it over the network, but like I said, it's so slow, there would be no reason to. I mean, you're talking about how many hours would it take you to credit card number?
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous.
It might be worth doing this. Like if you had a data center, like if you had a machine in a data center, again, customers like an Amazon are more at risk. So let's say that you keep buying Amazon instances until you happen to get an Amazon instance that is adjacent to the target that you're targeting. Then you're going to have a really high speed connection to that adjacent target. Maybe so adjacent that you're not really going to be noticed when you're pumping an insane amount of network traffic to that machine to try to exfiltrate this data. Because the farther away you are and the less bandwidth you have, the slower it gets. And so I can see that this is bad for Amazon customers, and bad for insider threats inside your company, but probably not bad for your just random WordPress web server on the internet.
And next up, another Spectre attack. This is Spectre RSB. That's, what is that, Return Stack Buffer, I think. So this one is unique. It uses speculative, just like everything else, but it's unique because it uses that RSB. The existing fixes don't fix this.
Womp, womp. We're going to have to get this fixed in silicon.
Yeah, it just keeps getting worse. But maybe just a glimmer. Oh, wait, this is not the right story. Oh, later on, we'll talk about this story. This is more bad news.
Microsoft has discovered a supply chain attack at an unnamed maker of PDF software. So this is the supply chain attack. What this is like, let's say that you write a popular application and you're, a shareware developer or whatever. You host the download on a website. Well, it turns out that people can target, your Amazon S3 bucket or wherever you've hosted that instead of you directly. And they may be manipulating your freeware download in ways that you don't realize. And that's what happened with this third-party PDF software.
Yeah, this was a font, an Asian language font. So they managed to somehow get this font into a library. And the PDF software unknowingly used that library. So as soon as you install it, you give it permission, system permission, and installs this font pack. And one of them starts mining cryptocurrency.
Fonts that can mine cryptocurrency. What a time to be alive.
They found it rather quickly because it wasn't signed like all the other fonts. But how many people did it get before then? It's a terrifying thing that one Asian language font can just poison the entire stream of software. So,
why does the font format on Windows tolerate executable code? who designed this?
Now, this was a story that was supposed to be next in line if I hadn't screwed up terribly.
Academics have announced a fix for Spectre and Rowhammer attacks. Rowhammer is an attack where you can flip bits in memory by hammering adjacent cells in memory. But just like you fill it all with ones and those ones just can't wait to hop over into adjacent memory cells. So you can introduce corruption into system memory, maybe in a controlled way, and use that to take over a system.
These are both software fixes. They didn't give much information about the Rowhammer one. They talked a little bit about the other one, and that basically just had to do with separating processes more in software.
Yes, and they have a patch for the Linux kernel. So imagine that this is going to get scrutinized by people that actually know what they're doing, and so we'll see how good of a mitigation this is.
They did get their paper got accepted for some con or something like that, or maybe it was a publication. So somebody has looked at it and said, this seems like it's real, but we don't have any details about
we
that.
We just don't know until Linus signs off on it. Linus. Linus.
You confused half the audience there.
Sorry.
So Bluetooth. This one, I almost left it out because when you get to the end of the article, it's like, this is never going to be a real threat, right?
Patches are on the way for Bluetooth, a Bluetooth bug that could affect Apple, Intel, and Broadcom, some Android devices. So this has to do with like key pair exchange. But if you man in the middle of the key pair exchange between Bluetooth devices, you still have to deliver those packets to the end device. So this would be good for three-letter agencies, but this is probably not good for just casual surreptitious listening in of conversations from Bluetooth devices.
Yeah, you have to be within range of both. They both have to have the same flaws. So like if you're Bluetoothing your phone and your car might have the exploit, but your phone might be updated, you're fine because both devices have to be compromised. So it's very unlikely that this will affect anybody because it's also very, very intensive and how much work you're going to have to put into getting it to operate correctly. And you've got that tiny, tiny time, that time window of the sync happening to get it in there.
So what you're saying is FBI surveillance van only?
And incredible timing on top of that.
Oh, Brian Krebs, you warmed my heart.
was it Russia last week?
It was Russia.
Russia had the, and not to be outdone, how about Virginia?
Blacksburg, Virginia. Oh, hackers made off with $2.4 million.
Same story. And, you know, we just keep, oh, I didn't leave that up long enough. I'm sorry. It's the same story. It's Barb. It's Barb at the front desk. She downloaded a special version of Pixel Dungeon because she just loves Pixel Dungeon. And it was, she got fished. And $2.4 million later. Now, the big story here is, this security or insurance company doesn't want to pay out on this because they claim this was a bank robbery, not cybercrime.
Wow.
How could it? I mean,
what's the distinction?
But that's what the bank is saying. that's crazy.
Somebody should write that outfit in Germany that's abandoning their Linux computers, and maybe the bank will want to buy those because that would be a pretty good hardening for Barb in accounting from being able to install that hacked version of Pixel Dungeon.
I mean, you've seen what the financial protocols are like.
Yeah.
You'd have to rewrite like 10 different pieces of software in Linux.
It would be a lot more hardened, though. Like, if we just go ahead and bite the bullet now, we would avoid a lot. I mean, $2.4 million goes a long way to paying those developer salaries to actually make that make that a reality.
So the way they did it was exactly the same as the Russians. And this is a lot of planning and like execution. It's really impressive. They transfer the funds and within 10 minutes, it's all bled out of ATMs across the country, like all across the country. So they have a huge network of people with cards, with fake cards, and they disable the PIN and disable the security. And then boom, they hit you with all that cash and then they're out.
Nice.
Yeah. It's incredible. Well, we see this story over and over.
Chrome extensions, Android, and iOS apps have been caught collecting browsing data again. So what separates this from the other 800 stories we covered on this?
Well, not a lot. This is a couple of ad blockers, I think. There's a list of the affected apps down here. Here we go, yeah. BlockSite, Proper Blocker, CRX Mouse, Speed Booster. So, oh, and there's one iOS app. So if you're using any of these, guess what? Browsing data has been compromised.
Dun, 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 dun.
And I think they're taking them out of the store, yeah. But they've already got your data.
Slap on the wrists. I mean, yeah. More is happening to these app makers than happened to Equifax. Let's just be clear about that.
That's true.
I mean, what a world to live in. I mean,
so your YouPorn history is worse than your social security number and all of your financial data, right? Is that what they're telling us? Now, this story, I was shocked to find out that prisoners get tablets with media.
Well, this is sort of low security. This is a minimum security prison, and they're these special prisoner tablets, which are very restricted and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But there's nothing worse than an adversary with time on their hands.
Can you imagine? I mean, think about if you and I were in prison and we got nothing to do all day. And we haven't had a computer in our hands in 4 years while we were in maximum. And then we get downgraded to the camp and they hand us a tablet. Of course you're going to hack it. That's what you did in high school, right?
They gave themselves $225,000 in credit. Now, they didn't actually steal any money. It was just buggy software.
Yeah, well, when we say $225,000, they gave themselves credit toward digital items. So they were buying songs and media and phone calls and things like that.
Let me tell you, the prison industrial complex that we've got here in America, Pixel Dungeon might be free for you, but on the inside, that Pixel Dungeon is going to cost you $5 American.
Five might be low. I saw there was so that same company, they mentioned it in the article, that company had just, like, they'd been sued because they were doing like the FaceTime. $14 a minute.
Wow.
Yeah. And they won that case. They're allowed to charge $14 a minute for FaceTime in prison. And that's one of the things these guys were stealing, quote unquote stealing. So But they got caught, and here's the thing about it. And guys in prison, I think, are really bad at this. I think one guy figured it out because, you know, like most people in prison, they're not going to be able to work that out. And he clearly told everybody. And if he would have kept it to himself and kept the numbers low, I think he'd still be, you know, like
they wouldn't have noticed.
His Netflix would be free for the rest of his stay. But he had to tell somebody. Never tell anybody. You keep it to yourself.
Pro inmate tip. Pro convicted criminal tip.
Post criminal tip.
American Airlines is using a CT scanner to screen luggage at New York's JFK. We have entered the dystopia.
Yeah.
Your luggage can get better medical care than uninsured Americans. Now,
CT scanners, what do you think they cost? Like $250,000?
Yeah, they're really expensive.
Real expensive.
And they're expensive to operate, too, because you need all that liquid helium.
Yeah, so these things are going to be running around the clock, you imagine.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's just like Homeland Security money that's going into that. Like,
I really don't want the TSA to be in charge of the superconductors that are inside that.
So the idea here is because they can do a full 360 view of your luggage and rotate it in the software, then they don't have to search it as often. So they're pitching this as, if you don't like us going through your stuff, then we'll just pop it through the CT scanner, which is they're searching it in a different way, I suppose.
If we can afford to do this with luggage, a CT scan at your local hospital should not be more than $100.
You think, how long until there's a guy with no insurance who just dives in there?
Yeah. It's like there's a guy that's going to like climb inside a suitcase and his friend is going to ship him so he can get a free CT scan.
So you dive in and then you freedom of information, the records, and take that to your doctor. That's what you do.
We are living in the worst timeline.
Pro homeless tip.
If you need a free disc CT scan, just go to the airport.
Of course, you're going to get arrested by the TSA and probably go to Gitmo for that.
Probably long before you can check in your luggage.
Yeah. Well, Georgia Tech. So this, once Barb has struck again.
She clicked on something she shouldn't have. And well, now all those poor students have lost their data.
Worse than that, she attached a file she shouldn't have. She attached a spreadsheet that had the GPA, financial info, home address, and
student ID.
Yeah, student ID of 8,000 Georgia Tech students.
You would think that IT would have trained her on not sending that kind of information through email.
I don't know if she thought she was attaching it, or maybe it was like a drag and drop failure, but Barb's been let go. Now, in Georgia, it is a felony to release that kind of information.
Oh, wow.
So, That
might be bringing her up on charges.
Not sure exactly what's going to be. I mean, I think it was a mistake, but there's that whole, you know, like intent doesn't enter into the law, right?
If she is, an interesting situation is probably going to play out. She'll be brought up on charges if it really is actually entirely her fault, but it will quietly go away if she had an overbearing boss that was like, I don't care, send me the information immediately because they want to bring up the boss on charges.
They're purging those emails right now. So, yeah, she's going to burn alone for this one. Poor Barb. She just wants to play Bejeweled, man. She just loves it.
Well, police are seeking more digital evidence from tech companies. So this is getting really scary because a lot of these requests that are going to companies like Google and Facebook and that kind of thing are clearly just phishing from like even local law enforcement. And that's going to create a mess for citizens.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of new information in this story, but it does bring up some hard numbers about how 130,000 requests from six companies. I think that's in 2018 so far, and or maybe that was in 2017. But they're going to that well way more often. You know, that chart is pretty much just like a 45 degree angle at this point. And they interviewed law enforcement on here, and the law enforcement was actually complaining that it was too difficult.
Yeah.
To query this data.
Imagine situations like, let's say that your local city hall is doing something kind of shady, like they're, I don't know, just imagine something shady. And there's a protest outside city hall, but then some kids come and throw eggs at city hall. So then they request location data from Facebook and cell phone companies and things like that for everybody that was at the protest. And it's like, that seems like that doesn't meet the standard for that type of request. But exactly like what we're always talking about with the slippery slope, there it sits.
And not only are they going to do that, the next protest, they're rolling the stingray. It's just like preemptively.
Yeah.
Let's just go scoop all this up.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I see you were at the city hall protest. And it's like, I was at the coffee shop across from the city hall protest. I saw people protesting, but I wasn't a part of the protest.
I was in the DMV part of it, renewing my license. And I just beat you.
Mercilessly.
Oh, Samsung and the Internet of Things. What could go wrong?
The bugs in the Samsung Internet of Things hub leave smart home open to attack. So, like, I think, you know, normally I'm bitching about the sensationalist headlines. The Samsung IoT hub might as well be an open door for anybody to mine cryptocurrency on literally anything connected to your local network. It's bad. It's real bad.
Now, the article, it is, when you read the whole article, to do whatever they want with your IoT through Samsung, it is a long series of steps. But if you were a juicy enough target, think about like a hot young starlet, a Hollywood, you know, like Scarlett Johansson. How far would somebody go to get into her Internet of Things?
And you can't get them out once they're in there.
Oh, yeah.
They're embedded like a tick.
No amount of shampooing. So that story is, I think they've patched a lot of it, but again, the problem with Internet of Things, how often do you upgrade the firmware on your refrigerator?
The problem that we, like, just so you guys understand, the fundamental problem with Internet of Things is that they are not designed with security in mind first. Anything that is going to be an appliance in your house connected to the internet, the first concern should be security. And we're not there yet. Nobody's taking it that seriously. And until we do, a baby monitor, and what was it? A baby monitor in Minnesota is gonna DDoS your heating system in Alaska.
It was in the Ukraine.
Yeah.
They turned off that apartment building.
So yeah, until security, Internet of Things devices are designed with security in mind first, meaning that everything is public key encryption. Like, it won't talk to you until it's cryptographically paired with something else. Until we have that, this is always gonna be just a disaster.
But the other problem there is, so you're talking about your refrigerator, there's planned obsolescence in the refrigerators. So the refrigerator you're going to buy now, 10 years from now, they're not sending out patches.
No.
And it's still Internet of Things. So
remember when fridges used to last like 30 years?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if you know a little bit about refrigerator repair and you keep it running,
there's not that much to them. Yeah.
It's not going to run longer when it's mining, you know, cryptocurrency. That's just... Why is everything in here warm? Oh, we've got another Krebs story, and this one's weird.
China, somebody in China, or maybe several somebodies in China, mailed CDs and some sort of weird letter to a bunch of different lawmakers. It's like, here, insert this CD, but it's got tons of malware on it. Like, it's Typhoid Mary. It's bad.
And it's not even labeled. Like, they didn't even bother to print a label. It's just a CDR. And this is just nonsense. It's like English nonsense. So I suppose the hope here was that someone was just curious.
And put it in their government computer.
And, you know, Barb, now if they would have labeled it Bejeweled 3.
That's where they messed up. Let's see, what is that, a pro international spy tip?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm sure that some people read that story and they were like, oh, I could do that so much better. Yeah. I can think of like five ways to improve it, and I'm not even into that kind of thing. Now, this story is, I'm thinking meth is probably involved here.
I would say so. Some sort of mind-altering substance for sure. A teen was arrested after he allegedly broke into a couple's home and asked them for the Wi-Fi password.
He actually allegedly said, it was an older couple. They had their windows open, but they had screens. He cut the screen. Crawled in, walked into their bedroom, and as they woke up, he said, "What's your Wi-Fi password?" "I'm at my data cap."
That claps claim another victim.
You think like Verizon could be sued for this?
I want to hold a Jeep Pie responsible.
But anyway, apparently his reign of terror continued as he went to another house and stole a bicycle. And as they confronted him, like, the bicycle was in the back. So he was in the process of stealing it. They confronted him on the front porch and said, "Hey, that's our bicycle." And he said, "What's your Wi-Fi password?" before riding off on the bicycle.
Yeah, I think maybe there might have been some mind-altering substance at work there.
Yeah, so watch out for teens who, you know, they got to get that Instagram fix, right?
At least two malls are using facial recognition technology to track shoppers' ages and genders without telling them. I got some bad news for you. Malls have been doing that for quite a while. A lot of malls, like Mall of America, have devices for tracking the beacons that your phone emits on both Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. And they track customer movement and it will tell you how many people are in what store just based on passive mobile phone surveillance.
So it was this kiosk right here that was tracking you. So while this helps you navigate the mall, and these are larger malls, I imagine. So as you're using it, it's using facial recognition to determine your age and gender. It's gendering you, which will trigger a lot of people. And it's using that information to sort of build a profile. Now, there's some kind of, this is Canada. So there's some kind of rule in Canada where you can like request what information they have about you. And the guy they confronted, he was like, "Well, just write us a letter and we'll send you your information." Who's going to do that? The reason we know about this is they left the diagnostic screen up after doing some work on it. And somebody took a picture.
Yeah, this has been going on for about 10 years, at least here in America, so no one cares.
Well, getting into some gaming news, last week we talked about, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but the new Xbox. They were talking about gaming from the cloud, and we had a healthy debate about, is there any way that's going to be possible? Well, we've got more information about it now with
xCloud.
They did, one of the interesting things about this is they did talk about it's not total streaming, right? So even there are going to be two versions. There's going to be like the regular powerful Xbox version, and there's going to be the thin client version. Mm. But even the thin client is going to do things like hit detection on the console.
That makes sense. So this is kind of what we thought that it would be. It's not what the services in the past have been, which is the game runs remotely and streams to you, which the latency for that is crazy. The game kind of will run remotely, but stream stuff to be computed on the thin client, which is where we are now computationally with devices. Like you can have a Snapdragon processor that can totally render a 720p stream. So you can sort of composite the two things together and you can have a reasonable gaming experience.
But now here's the question. What kind of playground is that going to be for Chinese hackers? If I'm doing hit detection locally and I get to send that back to the cloud?
There's going to be a lot of people that are like China number one. Or not,
they will be number one for some time.
Nintendo is also starting to play dirty. They've sent the lawyers after some ROM sites.
I recently bought myself a Nintendo Switch, and let's say theoretically that I modded it. And let's say theoretically I put one of those homebrew NES emulators on it and I wanted some ROMs. And let's say that theoretical me was pretty surprised how easy those are to just download straight from the web.
It turns out those are so easy to download from the web that the NES Classic, there is good evidence to suggest that the NES Classic, a lot of the ROMs in it just came from the internet. Nintendo didn't even bother going back to the Gold Masters to get it. They were just like, "Yeah, we'll just download this off the internet."
They proved that with the Super Mario one because it still had the ID from the guy who dumped it. Well, what they're saying is not only that, but now you got those Java-based sites. Yeah. Where you can just play them. Just play them in the browser. Well, Nintendo's saying that each copyright, not every site, but each ROM is going to be a $150,000 fine. That's what they're going to sue for.
These two sites that Nintendo cease and desisted, they're gone immediately. Well, they may have done more. We don't know yet, but at least two sites just shut down immediately.
There are a lot of them, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo getting serious. Nintendo, they overprice. If you look at that, they did that virtual console for the last generation. Was that the Wii? What was the last one? Was that the Wii U?
Before the Switch, I think so.
And they won like $7 for those games.
Oh yeah,
which is crazy.
Yeah, I'm not going to rebuy that.
No, and that didn't follow. Like if you got Virtual Console on the previous one, it didn't follow your account.
Well, I did rebuy Final Fantasy IV because they remastered the graphics, and that was a lot of fun.
Well, I could see that. That's a different game, though. I mean, that's not going to be on the ROM side.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, if you love ROMs, Nintendo ROMs, maybe time to go ahead and get yourself a master list and store it offline. Keep that for posterity.
Now, when I say the words vomit fraud, what do you think? What do you think of when I say vomit fraud? And vomit fraud is a problem.
I didn't immediately know what this was. I didn't understand it. I had to read, but it makes sense.
Uber's the headline is Uber can't keep down accusations of vomit fraud against its drivers. So, you know, picture the scene. I mean, we've all seen this in a million different movies. It's like you're out on the night with friends or whatever, drinking. This is all foreign to me. I can't imagine. none of this is things that are in my life at
but
all.
See, one of the main reasons that you call an Uber, if you know you're being responsible, you know that you're drunk.
And so if you puke in the car, apparently there's a thing in the Uber software for that. So what's happening is drivers have fake vomit and make it look like somebody vomited in their car, and then the passengers are charged an extra cleanup fee for the driver having to deal with the vomit, which is a good thing if you actually legit vomit in your Uber driver.
Right.
But they're not vomiting.
That fee could be up to $150.
Wow.
So you do like a $20 Uber ride, and then you wake up the next day and you've got, you know, that $170 on your charge.
It's like, I don't remember doing that, but I was blackout drunk. I guess that's a problem some people have.
So a lot of riders are, you know, you can dispute the thing, you can do everything through the app. And so Uber is not able to figure out when the vomit is real. And how do you prove it? How do you prove vomit?
Some of that fake vomit is really convincing.
But not only that, you could take a picture, like just wait till somebody vomits, take a picture and take like five different angles and just keep using it.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Or your dog might vomit. You know,
I'm going to get somebody else to pay for this. Are people out there that terrible?
I'm sure you can. I bet you can hire a homeless person to vomit in your car for like $5. Pro criminal tip.
They used to make this spray on plastic stuff that was amazing. Like you could spray it on and it would go on kind of thick, and then you could peel it off. And so maybe you could do that with like some transparent stuff. So you could coat your car in that and then vomit, and then you could just peel it and it would be its own plastic bag.
It's probably expensive, though.
It doesn't work with every material either. Like if your carpet's fuzzy, I don't imagine it would work with that. But it worked really well with things like a waxed vehicle.
I would think that you could, like airplanes, you could just give your riders vomit receptacles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cheap. I mean, there's no guarantee they're going to use them, I guess.
Get an air sickness bag. It's like, that's the ultimate Uber driver, taking their job very seriously. It's like, here's your air sickness bag.
Well, let's say that you are legitimately, you do vomit in your Uber, right? It's embarrassing. You pay your $150, but at least no one's going to know, right? At least that secret is just between you and your Uber driver.
What if your Uber driver is a Twitch streamer, though? That's what our next story is about.
And so here we got a screenshot from this guy's Twitch stream. So these people, like this is the guy, and these people don't know that they're on Twitch. They have no idea.
I think the more disturbing thing about this is that this guy would talk about the people as he was picking them up and after he dropped them off.
He would rate the beauty of the females. So kind of creepy. And the Twitch chat, of course, would also rate the beauty of the females. And they did talk about how he would sort of lead them in conversation to try and make things more interesting for the stream.
Of course, this is not illegal, but it violates tons and tons and tons of customer, like your Uber agreement and your Twitch agreement. And
he's been excused from both Uber and Twitch. But this state is a one-party state, so it was not illegal what he was doing. So be careful when you're in these cars, because I don't think anybody will make this mistake again, probably. But the number of people recording is probably higher than we would ever imagine. And maybe just to prove that you're vomiting, you know?
You never know when you're going to have to prove that somebody vomited in your car.
But the other thing they bring up, and this is maybe worse, he could, like, you know, like an OBS thing where he had two cameras. So he could switch to the driving camera. And that, if you're crazy, like, let's say, and, you know, we know about Twitch people. If, oh, hey, I live in this city. Oh, that girl's pretty. Oh, you're showing me a recorded route to her home?
I haven't had to deal with that in person at all. So I can imagine for a pretty girl, it would be way, way worse.
Well, on the topic of really, really stupid things that people do in cars, we have the hashtag In My Feelings challenge. Now, in my day, this was just called ghost riding. Apparently, this is they've changed the name of it.
The National Traffic Safety Board wants you to stop jumping out of moving cars for Drake's In My Feelings challenge. So the only thing that I can think of when I was reading the story is, so we get the Tide Pods in the martini glass on the desk here. And that we feel like that joke has pretty much run its course. But how can we capture this meme on our desk?
We could build a PC next to a running car. Yeah,
this doesn't seem dangerous at all.
This is people, you know, if you don't know what this is, you haven't seen it.
I don't know the video.
How have you missed it? But
there's no description that we can give you that you got to watch the video.
I don't know if the video will play.
People literally hop out of their car and run alongside it and then hop back in their car, which ends as disastrously as you might imagine more often than not.
Yeah, most of the time, people don't comprehend that they're moving at a different speed than the ground. And so they immediately just fall and their vehicle continues on with no driver. So
what a great idea.
Unfortunately, this affects us all. And you watch the video, it's like, oh, that's funny, that idiot. But then what's in front of that car? You know? What's
an 8-year-old kid.
Here we go. Oh, physics. Here it comes. Oh, an object in motion. Oh, these are hilarious. But don't do that.
Don't do that.
For the love of God, don't do that.
How do you know not to not do that? I mean, like, is it obvious?
It seems obvious. I don't know what.
I'm scared to death of moving cars.
What grade in school should that be taught?
Like first kindergarten?
Well, Google has a bit of an embarrassing autocomplete.
When you type sit on Android phones, my face is the first thing that pops up. And I think that's great. It's Monty Python. There's a Monty Python song about that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great. And everybody should go find the Monty Python song
but
for that.
It does show you that, you know, that's what people are mostly using that phrase for.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. That's an invitation I imagine gets sent out a lot. The guy that is complaining about this, that brought it to everyone's attention, to BuzzFeed, he was actually texting his babysitter. Can you sit on, and there was going to be a date, but Google filled in my face.
Nice. Now, the problem I have with this is that first they came for like the autocomplete terrorist language and like the really terrible, like disgusting stuff. And now they're quote unquote fixing autocomplete for innocent stuff like this. I mean, come on.
We got to come up with a new slang for that. Oh, Mercury News isn't loaded. Oh, there we go. There we go. So did we cover this story? I think I left it out because it was, it wasn't that interesting, but
the Mercury knew. I don't like this one. I didn't really. It's a bot that's going to rat you out.
Well, Venmo is a payment system.
Oh, okay.
And the scandal was Venmo by default puts all your payments in public mode.
Interesting.
And anybody with a Venmo key can query that entire database. So this guy wrote a little Python app, and he is just querying for words like drugs or sex or whatever. And he created a Twitter bot that just tweeted every time he found something interesting.
When I've bought something from friends or paid back money borrowed from friends or something, I've definitely written really hilarious things in the memo line on the check that had nothing to do. Like, you know, it's like, this is to Bob. So memo for sexual favors.
Hiding that body.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, so people were up in arms, but this guy was just pointing out how crazy it is that Venmo automatically puts your transactions into public mode. Now, you can go in and opt out of that, but why would that be the default is the question. So
BBC News has the story of the decade right here. 7 o'clock is the peak time for pizza.
And we should say that this is online orders of pizza. So this is 7 o'clock is the most popular. Second most popular, 2 a.m.
That makes sense.
So you want dinner and then you want like a drunken feast when you come home.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I am too tired to cook for myself. Damn it. I want a pizza.
And this is pretty much universal. So this is not just in, this is BBC, but this is not just in the UK. This is in, you know, most of the Western world. Any place where you can get online pizza delivery, this was true. Local time, 7 o'clock, and local time, 2 a.m. is when people want pizza. And when they, like in India, they adjusted it for like curry delivery. You know, it wasn't always pizza.
But it's still 7 and midnight. That's impressive.
2 a.m.
Or 7 and 2, yeah.
Yeah, universal. Now, this story, I'll have to admit, and Wendell questioned me before the news. Was like, what does this have to do with technology? And the answer is nothing. But look at this.
Really funny.
Look at this guy. That's what they're selling as a zebra. It's almost like he knows. It's like, no one's going to buy this.
They painted a donkey to look like a zebra.
And they did it so poorly.
And so this is making the rounds in social media and everything else. So I guess now, we can give it a pass.
But apparently there was only one live. I think this one back here is just fake. I would look at him. Man, I would love to go see the painted donkey. That's great.
Poor guy.
That's when you use the when we use the phrase dog and pony show, you think about like this is kind of the origination of that. Like you could go to the zoo, right? But that's expensive because they have exotic animals there. But you could just go to the dog and pony show because dogs and ponies aren't fancy. It's like
it's not even a pony.
It's just a terrible show. You know, it's just a bunch of dogs.
It's the Egyptians have embraced the philosophy of P.T. Barnum.
They defended the painted donkey. They said that is 100% a zebra when they were questioned. So.
And anybody that says otherwise, it's fake news. We learned that last week, right? Because the Egyptians are very serious about going after.
Secret police are going to come take you to a re-education camp where you will admit that is a zebra.
Perhaps even more absurd than that, we're getting a first contact or false alarm thing. We're getting, like, you know, the Richter scale earthquake thing. We're getting that for contact from an alien civilization. So we can, it's like, how important is this event that scientists are reporting? Is this confirmation of extraterrestrial life or no?
You would think that 5 would be confirmation, right?
Yeah.
So there is no reading above like a 1.
Well, I mean, do we need this? It seems like we could just...
Like, yeah. I mean, if it happens, I feel like it's going to make the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it will be analyzed very thoroughly should we ever contact aliens. A lot of people are going to be interested in that.
There's, I forget who, it's like Arthur C. Clarke or somebody, but there's only 2 possibilities. Either we are alone in the universe or we're not. And both are terrifying.
Yeah, and these guys have sent this off to SETI. They want this to be codified as official whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. I suppose if you're deep in the UFO type stuff, you like this as a way to rate your theory or whatever, right? Like
nobody has time to deal with us. We're one of the backwater outer rim solar systems.
Yeah, well, let's like... Here's a blurry photo. I think it's a 3, right? Does everybody agree this is a 3? Yeah.
How crazy would it be, though, if we got direct observation? It's like there is some, you know, galaxy-spanning civilization that's a little bit closer toward the galactic center. And it's like we're watching their fleet or whatever, and they just go consume a star. And it's like, oh, that's not terrifying at all.
You just hope that their FTL is slow enough that you'll be dead before they get here.
What a thing to hope for.
But that would be, I think the true terror there would be the hysteria.
Yeah, it would definitely be hysteria.
Because some people would just go crazy.
Yeah. The confirmation either way, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think confirmation of no, people just wouldn't buy. But if you had incontrovertible evidence that they're out there and they're
people
like...
People would just lose their mind.
They're like a million years ahead of us. some people are going to be like, well, it's over. Might as well start stabbing.
Let's hope that they have a species protection list. Like, you know, it's like, we're the white rhino of the outer rim or whatever.
Do you want to go to the space zoo?
There's lots of episodes of Star Trek about that. The menagerie. It's like, yeah. All right. That's it. That's it for the news for this week. Be sure to check out our other content.
And we'll see you next week.